Mark 16, verses 1 through 3. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother James, and Salome bought spices, that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" I've always been amazed at how fast that life can change. Things are one way one day, and the next day, they're totally different. One day, a spouse is here, the next day, they're gone. One day, you think you're well, the next day, you discover that you're extremely ill. One day, everything in your life is going well, and the next day, everything is falling apart. One day it appears that there's no hope for your situation. The next day your problem has been solved. It is true that many changes can occur over the course of one day. What a difference a day makes. That was never more true than the day that Jesus rose from the dead. When the body of Jesus was placed in the tomb by Joseph of Arimathea, and Nicodemus, the day he was crucified, that was a dark and terrible day. As the sun went down that night, so did the hopes and the dreams of all the Lord's disciples and followers. Mark is the only gospel writer that speaks of that dark and dreary Sabbath that passed between the day that Jesus died and the day that he rose again from the dead. I'm sure it was a long, miserable day for all those who had loved and had followed Jesus Christ. But what a difference a day makes. Mark moves us beyond that tragic Saturday to a glorious Sunday when the world changed forever. I'd like for us to look into the events of that first Lord's Day, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Why is that day so important? That day is important because the events of that day have made a difference in every day that has and will follow that day. That day makes a difference because what happened that day has influenced so many people that is listening today. That day is important because what happened that day can make a difference in your life today. Let's look at the events that occurred at that tomb just outside Jerusalem the morning that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We see a ministry of love, a ministry of love with the women that are mentioned in the text. We see their desire in verse 1. Of Mark 16, their desire, their love. The three women that are mentioned in Mark 16, verse 1, they had observed the long, dark Sabbath day. They had rested in their homes as was commanded by the law of Moses. Just the day before, they had witnessed the death of Jesus Christ. Friday, the death of Christ. Saturday, the Sabbath. They watched as his body had been placed in a tomb and a stone had been rolled over the opening to seal his body inside. Mark 15:46-47 tells us, "Then he bought fine linen, took him down and wrapped him in the linen. And he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock and rolled the stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, observed where he was laid." That is what has taken place. The death of Christ. The burial of Christ. It's all over. All the dreams are over. At sundown and the Sabbath began, these women had gone back to their homes. Had headed back to their homes in despair and disappointment. When the Sabbath ended, on Saturday at sunset. They had emerged from their homes and went into town and had purchased sweet spices to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had already wrapped the body in linen strips and had poured embalming spices on the body. The perfume these women were intending to use would have served the purpose of masking the smells of decomposition. So these women go out on Saturday night, the Sabbath had come to an end. They go out Saturday night. They make their purchases. Their intention is to go to the tomb the next morning and perform one final act of love. They had a ministry of love. They were going to perform one final act of love and service to the Lord, even though they had been sad and then disappointed and thought it had been all over. For them, it was a way of having closure concerning his death, even though they had dreamed and hoped and prayed that he had been the Messiah. But now all their dreams seemed to be dashed. We see their desire to show their love towards the Lord and anointing the body. Now we see their devotion in verse 2. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Very early in the morning. In that society, most people arose just before dawn at around 5:30 a.m. It would appear that these women got up earlier than that. They arose from their beds, gathered their spices together, and made their way from Bethany, where they lived, to the tomb, just outside the city of Jerusalem. It was a trip of some 2 miles. Their love and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ is seen in this labor of love. They rose very early in the morning. They rose very early in the morning to see the Lord, to be with the Lord. You see where I'm going with that? They rose early in the morning, very early in the morning, the text says. Sometimes we have to rise very early in the morning to be with the Lord, to be alone. To be alone with the Lord, to speak to the Lord. For him to speak to us, for us to be in fellowship with the Lord. These women showed their love for the Lord. These women showed their devotion to the Lord. And in verse 3, they expressed their doubts concerning the Lord. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" Doubts now. Doubts. As they walked, they kept talking about the stone over the door of the tomb. It must have finally dawned on them after they purchased their spices that they might have trouble accessing the body of the Lord. After all, the tomb had been sealed by having a large stone rolled over the door. By some estimates, this stone could have weighed 1,000 pounds. These ladies could never have moved that stone by themselves. And they know it. They're concerned about that. They're doubting. They're having their doubts. Their desire was to love the Lord and minister to the Lord. They showed their devotion by getting up early. But now circumstances is causing them to doubt. The stone. Who will roll away the stone from the door? They also are oblivious to the fact that the Jewish leaders had convinced Pilate that the Lord's disciples might try and steal the body of Jesus. The Jews believed the disciples would take the body and claim that Jesus was still alive. So they had asked Pilate to post Roman guards at the tombs and to have the tomb sealed with Pilate's official seal. And Pilate had did that for the Jews. Look at Matthew 27, verses 62 to 66. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a God. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. So these women, whose desire was to love the Lord, who rose early to get to the tomb to show their devotion, now they're expressing their doubts. Who will roll away the stone? And they don't even know that there's guards there. There's Roman guards secured the tomb. The tomb is secure. I have another problem there. These women made their way to the tomb that morning. These women would have been filled with sorrow and grief and fear. Are you familiar with those kind of days? We all are. These women were not going there looking for a living Lord. They were going to look for a cold corpse. Their problem was that they were still living in Saturday. Their problem was they were still living in Saturday, like many of us. We're still living in Saturday. When that awful Saturday dawned, all they could see was the shattered remains of their hopes and their dreams. Is that not us many times? These ladies, along with all of the Lord's followers, had placed all of their faith and their confidence in Jesus Christ. They believed that he was the Messiah. They believed he was the one who was going to fulfill all the ancient prophecies. They believed he was the one who would be the king of Israel. They believed that he would establish God's kingdom on the earth. All of their hopes for life and eternity were bound up in what they believed about Jesus Christ. Then, we're all familiar with then in our lives. As I started it off, you're healthy, and then. You have a spouse, and then. It was that way with these women. They had a Messiah, and then all of their fondest hopes and dreams crumbled to the ground like so much dust as they stood there at the cross and watched them die. Faith had turned to grief, and grief to utter hopelessness as they saw his broken body taken down from the cross and placed in that tomb. When that stone was rolled across the door of that grave, it was a ringing statement of finality. That stone said, "It's all over. It's all over. It's all over. Hope is gone. Hope is gone. There's no future. There's no future for you. There's no salvation for you. There's no kingdom for you. Jesus is dead, and it's all over." Have you ever felt that way? That it's all over. That it's all over. You think it's all over. But the story of Jesus Christ ended with them being buried in the tomb and with the stone being rolled across the tomb, rolled across the door. Then there would be no hope today. Then there would be no hope for us today. But that's not the case. If that tomb was still closed, if that stone was still rolled against it, then 1 Corinthians 15:19 would be true. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Those dreams. Those dreams can be accomplished. That thing that weighs and drags down on you. The tomb is empty. The resurrection has taken place. We don't have to live in Saturday any longer. Many of us are there today. We're living in Saturday. And we don't even realize that Sunday has come. The tomb is empty. People move through this world enslaved by their sins. Those who know not Christ, and even those that do know Christ, they live as if they don't know Christ. They live opposite of Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now we're to live that way, brothers and sisters. He made you alive. You were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Stop walking like it's Saturday, it's Sunday. Christ has been raised from the dead. And the same power that raised him from the dead now lives and dwells inside you. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You were a son or a daughter of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. We once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But brothers and sisters, we're no longer children of wrath, we're children of God. Why do you keep living as if it's Saturday? The tomb is empty. Christ has been raised from the dead. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You've been raised with Jesus Christ. It's no longer Saturday. The tomb is empty, brothers and sisters. The world is oblivious to the God who saves men and women. Many believers still live as if they're oblivious to the power of God. Let me close with Romans 1, verses 18 through 21. For those who move throughout this world without joy, without peace, without hope, that are trapped in their sins and headed to hell. The problem with the majority of people is they live in the darkness of their sins and their depravity, and they're unaware that joy unspeakable and full of glory could be theirs. If only they knew and realized that the tomb was empty. Many believers would experience joy unspeakable and full of glory if they would just remember that long, cold Sabbath day has passed. Behold, all things have become new. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new creation. Now we're to live that way. In closing, Romans 1, verses 18 through 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. Friend, if you're listening today, God has manifested himself to you. He has made himself known to you. That word manifest means a hand slap. A hand slap. God has hand slapped the whole human race that there is a God. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. You know there's a God by creation. even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like corruptible man. If you would find yourself there today with no hope, no sense of God, you don't know God, you're lost. The good news is that Jesus Christ died for sins on a Friday. Then the people rested on that Saturday, on the Sabbath day. The second day was dark and dreary, and the hopes had been dashed for the people. But then came Sunday. Then came a resurrection. Then came an empty tomb, and all of history changed. Where do you find yourself today in the history of this world? Do you find yourself celebrating with the children of God? For you know of the resurrection, you know of the power of Jesus Christ. Are you a child of God today and yet don't experience the power of Jesus Christ in your life? You're still enslaved by sin. Your quote-unquote Christian walk is just a dread and dreary and a burden. You're not enjoying the Lord Jesus Christ. Then look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Christ and all that he has done for you and all that you are in Christ. Then the Saturday in your life will pass. You will begin to experience resurrection power as you look to Christ. Stop looking to yourself and your works. Look to Christ and his work and his fulfillment of the law. Not your fulfillment of the law. Of his fulfillment of the law. And you who will be listening today that have never come to Jesus Christ, you're still dead in your sins and trespasses, facing the future of hell. I ask you today, I beg you today, to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. For Jesus Christ is the meaning of life. Jesus Christ is all in all. Jesus Christ is all. Come to Christ today and be saved. Today is the day of salvation.